I am going to talk about thirst for God, and this is I'm going to mostly focus on Psalm 63, which my Bible titles Thirst for God. One of my favorite psalms for a long time. Hannah and I both memorized it, so I'm just going to read the first 8 verses. Oh, and it's King James, so my apologies, but that's what I'm used to. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul follows hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. So I think we can all relate to thirst for God, or we all fit into a couple different categories. One is we don't know God and we don't have an interest in God. One is we feel like we should have a thirst for God, but we don't. And one is we are thirsty and we are seeking. And the more we taste of God, the more we want. So what does this psalm teach us about desiring God, seeking God, thirsting for God? I'm going to go through the first 8 verses one by one. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. And I stop. I'm a morning person. I love the morning. I love the quiet. And this is David saying, early will I seek thee. Maybe he's rising up before day. He's making time at the beginning of his day. This is how he's starting his day. So how do we start our day? You know, stumble into the shower, brush your teeth, start the coffee, get the kids up, turn on Good Morning America, but focus our thoughts. This might not be our first conscious thought. When you wake up, I think we can wake up with God on our mind. But if you don't, we need to seek Him. That is, we need to direct our thoughts early, first thing in the morning. And we need to make the time. If that means getting up earlier. 3 years ago, in January 1st, 2010, I made a commitment that I was going to get up early enough to spend quality time with God, no matter what time that was. Now, it's been hard different times with the babies. Lately, Ruth's been getting up at 6 a.m., and I haven't been getting up earlier than that. So I have time, but it's not just time with God. Then I need to make a change. I need to get up earlier or make another time. I'm going to talk later. I mean, God has blessed that time, seeking Him first, making that commitment. My soul thirsts for thee and my flesh longs for thee. Reminds me of Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water. The thirst. On a hot day, you're dehydrated, your mouth's sticky. How you want water. Verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. So I think this is referring to a mountaintop experience David had. Maybe it was in the temple, since he refers to the sanctuary, or maybe out as a shepherd. We've all had times when we felt God's presence, that it was just more real than it is day to day. We want to see, that's what we thirst for. Now we thirst for God's presence, but we want to see His power and His glory, like we tasted it before, maybe when you were first converted, or at a conference, or that's a longing. That's a thirst for God. Verses 3 and 4. Because your loving kindness, or just your love, is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. So why do we seek Him? Why do we thirst for Him? Because His loving kindness is better than life itself. In Psalm 16 says that in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's what we all want. We want fullness of joy, and it is in God's presence. Thirst for God. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. I don't know how your translation puts marrow and fatness. My subtext says the very best. But this is, it brings to mind, it's not a vegetarian meal. That was good, but 90 minutes later, like you've never eaten anything. So this is the this is the rich food that when you're done, you lean back and you are full. And that's the satisfaction from seeking God. Verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. So we talked about our first thought of the day. This is the last thought of the day. When we're lying in our bed, where do our thoughts go? Are we taking time? Or are we just saying, before we turn out the light, once the light's out, I mean, I fall asleep like that. So we make time at the end of the day while we still have consciousness left to seek God, to end the day, so that God guards our heart during the night so that we can wake up with God on our mind. So when I meditate on thee upon my bed, or when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Night watches, probably pretty boring. He's sitting out on the wall or watching the sheep. It's got nothing but time, hours to wait until the sun comes up. It's a boring time. What's he going to fill it with? Where is his mind going to go? He chooses to meditate on God. So when we have idle time, when we have we don't have to be focused on one thing. Where does our mind go? It's how one way we can gauge our attitude toward God. But we do need to choose to think about God. I'm going to skip verse 7. Verse 8, my soul follows hard after thee, and thy right hand upholdeth me. I think another version says, my soul clings to you. When I think about following hard, I think about a hot pursuit. It's a chase. You're pursuing the enemy. You're pursuing the animal you're hunting. You're not going to stop. You're not going to rest. But you're following hard. You're hot on the heels. And that is to describe our walk with the Lord. Does it? Am I following hard after God? I want to look at Christ's example of his thirst for God and how he sought God. It was persistently in solitude and in prayer. I'm going to read four references quickly from Mark 1:35. And rising up a great while before day, he departed into a solitary place to pray. Luke 6:12. He went out to a mountain to pray. Matthew 14:23. He sent the crowds away and went up on the mountain. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Luke 5:16. He withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And Jesus is seeking quality time with God. He goes in solitude. He isolates himself from distractions. He's there for hours. This is our model. Christ is the only one who's ever loved God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. But he is our example as to how we seek God. So do we seek God in that same way? Do we say, well, I got to be mowing anyway, I'll do some praying. Or I'll pray about it in the car on the way there. Or I'll pray about it till I fall asleep, which, as I mentioned, may not be very long. So yes, we are to pray continuously. Those are good times to be praying and to have God on our mind. But that's not giving God our best time if that's the only time that we are seeking him. God deserves our solitude, our undivided attention. Here we go. So what distracts us from our thirst for God? What competes for God's place in our heart? I think there are ways that we can search that out. We also need to pray for God to show us. What are our idols? What are we thirsting for other than his kingdom? Some of the categories I thought of are where our thoughts go, Where does your mind go? That tells you what you're most interested in, where your first love is. What do we talk about? We talk about what we love. So I think by what we are bringing up, what we hear other people bringing up, or out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. And I wonder, our struggles with evangelism and with bringing God up and with telling people about Him, is it a reflection of our love for God? When we are overflowing with God and filling ourselves, that's what will come out. I pray regularly, it's my intention, an attempt at work to bring God into the exam room. Just to acknowledge his role, to see if people are interested in that. But it seems to come up when I have filled myself with God, when God is my first thought, when He is my vision, it just comes up. Okay? Not every patient every day, but when I have sought God, that's when I want to talk about Him. So I just wanted to see if you could relate to that our drive to evangelize. I think almost all of us are very frustrated with our ability and our desire to do that. But I would suggest, rather than feeling bad about that, if we would seek God first, fill ourselves with Him, that would be the natural response. What do we spend our time doing? Another way to define an idol. Do I make time for my interests, but I don't have time to seek God? Do I make exercise a priority? Do I set aside a specific time for my TV show? Do I find time for my hobbies and my interests? I find time, I make time to maintain my property. None of these are bad of themselves, but do they take the place of God? Is that our first priority? And if we only have a limited amount of time, what will we spend it on? Seeking the Lord or doing idle things? And again, not that hobbies or interests are bad. God gave us lots of interests, but they are for His glory. And whatsoever we do, we will do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that includes our hobbies. And if it is not bringing you or someone else closer to God, we need to reevaluate how we're investing our time. Another distraction, which Jesus points out in the parable of the soils. So we have the hard soil where the birds came and ate up the word. We have the thin soil where the seed took root, but it was burned up when the trials came. And then thirdly, there's the seed sown that sprouted, but weeds grew up around it. And this applies to Christians who are choked out by the weeds. Our word and our fruit is choked. And what did Jesus say chokes it? He says, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. There's certainly our thirst for money, financial security. Jesus singled that out. But simply cares. Are we too worried about other things? Can we not turn our mind off so that we can focus on God? Hebrews 12:1. And seeing that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight or every hindrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. So we've listed a bunch of hindrances and weights that keep us from running the race. And of course, the sin. Sin will weigh us down, distract us. Our fellowship with God will be interrupted. So God is a rewarder, again from Hebrews 11:6. God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Seeking Him diligently is not fruitless. I think we need to pray for a thirst for God. We want more of God. We want to want God more. So we can always pray for greater passion, for greater thirst, for zeal. And why I think that's the first step toward producing fruit, Philippians 2:13. Because it is God who works in you both to do and to will of His good pleasure. So it is God who makes us want to do His will. It is God who empowers us to do His will. So before we want to do his will and can do it, we have to seek God first. So are we struggling with sin? Seeking God will make the sin abhorrent to us. Do you want to be more compassionate or more giving, more kind? Seek the Lord, meditate on him, abide in him, and then you will bear fruit. And this has been my experience since January of 2010. I haven't done it every day. And the weekends are harder because I feel like, man, that's my time. But my routine during the week, God has used that time to grow me in ways I never did in my first 30, however many years. And that's not a credit to me. I made a decision to seek him, but by seeking him, God has rewarded me. He has changed me. Did you know that God is in the business of seeking men? So all I've talked about is us seeking God. But this whole book is about God seeking men. About God's plan to restore sinful man into a right relationship with him. All of us are born sinners. We will all follow our own way. We will wander as sheep gone astray. We are doomed to eternal separation from God. But the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. So God sought us first. Everyone, we didn't choose him, but he chose us. Praise him. So if you haven't chosen the Lord, the Bible calls us to repent from our sin. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died to pay the price for our sin. Then he rose again. Praise God.